Welcome back to Zapli's second podcast. Today we'll discuss Basque Country Stage 6, where Jonas Vingegaard did the best pure watts per kilo performance since Alberto Contador on Verbier in 2009. Nijcka, can you say the numbers, what Jonas did on the climb?
Yeah, the climb was the Isua climb, Alto de Arate, slightly different compared to the Alto de Arate that they usually climb. The ending is a bit different. It's a bit shorter, a bit steeper. 4.1 kilometers, 9.37%. And Jonas climbed it in 11 minutes, 17 seconds, opened a 43 seconds gap to his closest competitor and pushed 7.46 watts per kilogram. Why not?
We expected that this might happen this year, and it is a matter of time, and this happened finally.
we predicted it to happen on Laporte, Remco, Evenepoel, and Roglic. We're super close. Didn't happen. Now Jonas.
Yeah, like Remco needed, I think, like 0.01 watt.
Yeah,
per kilo, I really think. He was like extremely close, super, super.
Yeah, and now Jonas Vingegaard is the first of the modern generation to reach this achievement, let's say. Yeah, he of course wins the GC along with the stage win. He easily dominated this race from start to finish, really. Three stage wins, like Pogacar in Paris-Nice. I think he also won three stages. Roglic won three stages in Tirreno.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of dominance in a 1 week stage races so far. And I mean, obviously an immense performance from Vingegaard.
Yeah. And this race start list wasn't that bad. Like Mikel Landa was at his peak level. There was Enric Maas in great shape. Like David Gaudu, Simon Yates. Like it wasn't complete dog shit race.
Yeah, no, the competition was pretty decent. Let's say, the best Spanish climbers, of course, Maas, Landa, Izagirre, who was always great in this race. He finished second in GC, I believe, last year. But Jonas also has an immense track record in this race. He finished second in 2021 behind Roglic and sixth last year, where it wasn't as great, and now obviously won by a large margin this year.
Okay, but another question. Which riders do you think might also reach the pink trend line, the top 25 all-time level? I will say a few names. I think Remco, because he almost did it. Roglic also was close. Then I think JJ Vine probably he can do.
Maybe.
I think maybe Pogacar, but the funny thing, with Pogacar, he hasn't reached even a generational level. He has multiple performances close to like 0.01 watts per kilo. Yeah, he's really close. But if he follows Vingegaard, maybe he can be super close.
Yeah, I think Remco can definitely do it. I mean, he was so close, like 0.01, as you said. And he's probably not even at his like peak shape weight wise as well currently.
Yeah.
I got Roglic, he was really close, but I'm not sure he can do it. I mean, maybe he can.
I think he might.
I'm not sure if he will get such a perfect opportunity as he did on Laporte again. And he's also quite old, so he probably like has maybe 2 years left at his best. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if he gets the opportunity again, but physically he's probably able to do it because the pacing wasn't quite ideal on Laporte. And he might have done it if they paced it flat out after the attack. Then you mentioned Pogacar, obviously.
Yes, I know. Like,
it's hard to say, because Pogacar did have the perfect opportunities to have it on Prati di Divo, for example, where it didn't manage to.
Okay, it was two years ago, and now everyone is improving.
Yeah, but Pogacar isn't improving in climbing level. He's putting up the same watts as 2 years ago, as 3 years ago even. So yeah, I'm struggling to see it currently, because Yeah, he's just never even broken the red trend line, the generational trend line, and he had a decent amount of opportunities in good conditions. Like even Paris-Nice, the last stage called the Ace, was better conditions than today in Basque country, and he didn't get the mutant trend line or generation trend line.
Again, like if he had Jonas, let's say, if he had someone to chase, maybe he does a little
Yeah,
bit more. But
I definitely see the argument for that, but
I
then again,
understand
like,
it, like it's super hard to reach it, and yeah, Pogacar isn't a pure watts per kilo monster,
yeah,
yeah.
like there's a 0.25 watts per kilogram gap between pink and red, and he didn't manage to get the red. I don't think just chasing Vingegaard will give him a 0.25 watts per kilogram boost.
Yeah,
I don't think that's realistic.
and then probably other guys who might do it are the young guys, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Yuso. Yeah, I
Wine,
don't.
you mentioned,
Yeah,
like, Wine is young, not young, but like he's young as a rider, let's say.
yeah,
As
he
in, he
might
hasn't,
improve. Yeah.
yeah, but he has had an injury, a sickness. I don't know. Like, he's been out for,
Knee injury,
yeah,
yeah,
he's
and
been out for a bit,
Yuso
as
has
has
also
Ayuso. Like,
injury.
he hasn't raced at all this season. So it'll be interesting to see how those two UAE riders come back from their
Yeah, injuries, yeah.
injuries, and how they will even fit into the, like, plan this year, because I'm not sure Vine can still do the Giro
No,
after.
he
Yeah,
won't. He's out
so
of
he's pro
shape. Yeah,
yeah so
he's he.
might be to the tour even.
Yeah, or Vuelta with
Yeah, it's
Ayuso.
probably, yeah,
Ayuso will not be happy.
that would be an interesting combo to see.
Yeah, because Vine started training, doing rides not that long ago. So yeah, if he's starting Giro, which he shouldn't do it, he'll be in terrible shape. Let's say not in his peak shape, yeah.
Yeah.
But from other guys, Lenny Martinez maybe.
Maybe. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Maybe Uytebroeks, maybe. Maybe Slenny. We don't know.
Yeah. About Uytebroeks, I think he might be too big. I
Yeah,
don't know
probably.
why, but
Yeah, I
yeah.
think I agree. I agree. He's probably, like, not a pure watts per
Yeah,
kilogram
he's the perfect
monster.
GC rider, yeah,
Yeah,
but not the
he's
perfect
more
one.
like Pogacar in a way,
Yeah, I
in terms
agree.
of his climbing form, and
Yeah.
he probably, like, I think he also, yeah, improves with or improves compared to the competition the harder the stage is, because yeah, he wasn't really elite on the Rioni Puerto climbs this season. Like, he was good, but not elite
I said this
as you might have
because
expected
of
from him.
I mentioned Martinez and Uytebroeks because of their performances on Laporte. Okay,
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
perfect conditions and their pacing was perfect because they weren't following Roglic and Evenepoel. They are
yeah.
pushing their best watts and like they are so young and yeah. But these days riders peak so early or are at least very close to their peak at young age. Let's say that.
Yeah, it's interesting because we also just can't predict how much faster cycling is going to get, because at this point, you can't deny that the last few years it's been faster, faster, faster every year. I mean, 2018, there was still Geraint Thomas winning the Tour de France with worse watts than he did last year in the Tour, where he finished third, I think, like 7 minutes down or something in that range.
Yeah.
So it was a completely different era, even. And then 2019, it started maybe a bit at the Vuelta at the end, where we saw, I think, a generational performance from Roglic on Acebo,
I think
and
also
Valverde.
Valverde did
Yeah,
also
Valverde as well. On that day, they
generational
were together. That 2020 was ex ex an explosion, which many believe to be after COVID, but it already kind of started before with
with
Quintana.
Quintana, yeah.
Yeah, with Quintana going
And after
crazy
that, Quintana didn't do anything near that.
and. You didn't, and now it's just getting faster every year. We had Jonas crushing everything we had imagined that would be possible last year, and now, like, we have had how many generational performances?
I don't know, man. Like,
I think we have had now, like, now at this point in April, we have had more generational performances than in any of the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
pro.
definitely. Like, without a doubt at this point.
Yeah, like today, Jonas put on a 11-minute climb 43 seconds to Henrik Maas Mikkelsen and
That's
another
just
guy's
it's completely
43
crazy.
seconds.
43 seconds. The difference in level is so immense. And the stage, like we're talking about the Watts program, but the stage itself wasn't even easy. It wasn't the
Yeah.
perfect conditions like Laporte. It was quite a hard stage. It wasn't very long. It was hard. It was 2,718 kilojoule, 42.3 kilojoule per kilogram, around that for 3 hours, which is a high intensity of 14.27 kilojoule per kilogram per hour. And it was at the on the last day of a stage rate. It was not the perfect 10 degree. I think it was 22 degrees. Well, yeah, 22 degrees warm, which isn't ideal at all. I mean, it's decent. It's not like nothing extreme, but it's still 22 degree compared to 10. So that's kind of not perfect. Of course, the altitude was low, but overall, like it's one of the like it's not as perfect as say Hafid or Laporte, where we have seen
Yeah.
very high performances before this season.
Also, the thing with this stage, they did on Krabbel in GC Group in the draft, like 6.2 watts per kilo for 16 minutes, which also isn't easy. So yeah, but for kilojoules, you used for it Felix Gall, who is like
Yeah, and
67 kilograms.
then we matched it with the calculation
Yeah.
to get that, because I think it's Palmieri's underrating a bit,
Yeah, like
considering, yeah, I looked at Tarame's Strava, which I usually trust quite a bit, and was read a bit higher, matched with the calculation. So yeah, but he was in a break, so I didn't use him for the kilojoule in that regard.
yeah, like it's crazy because it's almost like 3 hours, 3,000 kilojoules, and if it would have been like 73 kilogram rider, maybe it would have been, yeah, 3,000 kilojoules. Maybe even like 70 kilos probably also is would be enough. Like it's crazy, yeah. It's not easy. Definitely. This
Yeah.
stage wasn't easy. And the Basque
Yeah.
Country, all stages of Basque Country are kind of hard. Yeah, no one is for pure
Because
sprinters.
it's up and down all day. Like, how many
Yeah.
categorized climbs do we have today? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven categorized climbs.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And like Krabbelin was high tempo, at least some 6.2 watts per kilogram, not that bad. Izua was where he went crazy, and then Urkaregi, which was the last climb of the day, Jonas was still going at a very high speed. It's impossible to c calculate accurately due to the high speed at a 4.6% gradient. But like we can still say that he most definitely did around between 6.6 to 6.8 watts per kilogram for around 10 minutes, which is still quite hard, especially after the effort he had just unleashed before that.
Yeah, and he hadn't a lot of time between the climbs because the descent was fast and the valley wasn't yet. There wasn't a valley between the climbs, and he also like went full gas down descent, pedaled hard. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's kind of hard. Yeah, it's impressive, and yeah, there are only like 30 performances about this trend line in history. And nine of them is in modern time trials, and Jonas was from road races, he was like 19th best. Yeah,
Yeah,
so and
like
it's
the
against like Pantani has, let's count how many he has,
eight.
eight performances. Okay, are Pantani ones.
Yeah, like I think like 15 at least are probably of the 21 road race performance are probably from the 90s. I'm pretty sure around that.
Yeah, okay, let's count it. There are so six at tw tw 23 out of 30 are from 90s. Yeah,
Yeah.
the only 80s performance is from Jean-François Bernard on
In a
Moto2
mountain
time
time trial
trial,
in the Dauphiné
and
on
then
Mont
after
Ventoux.
that, it was in 1997, and after that, the next one is Marco Pantani on Alpe d'Huez in 1994. Then there's
Yeah.
Pantani in the Rhine and the same Tour de France on Alpecin. Then it's Pantani Alpe d'Huez in 1995. Guillermo Salvino, Rominger Salvino,
Yeah,
Rominger
kind of.
Colagallo. In the same time trial, yeah, he did
Yeah.
the two climbs at the did this pink trend line
Yeah,
speed.
I think you won the time trial by nearly 3 minutes or something. It was a crazy time trial.
And this same time trial, yeah, Piotr Ugrumov, who's from my country, Latvia, yeah, also did did this insane performance on climbs and lost, yeah, 2 3 minutes. So it's
Yeah,
insane.
okay. Berezin was 1:39 behind the TT, and Ukrumov was 2:23 behind. And then the fourth rider was Casagrande with over 3 minutes down. So yeah, it was a crazy TT.
Like I see that 1995 was crazy year because there are, let's go on, eight yeah performances which are in top 20, top 38. Then there's
Yeah.
the greatest pure watts per kilo performances from Marco
By
Pantani
far.
in Flumserberg, yeah, in Tour de Suisse or Tour de
Yeah,
Romandie, Tour
Tour
de
de
Suisse,
Suisse.
yeah.
And the funny thing about that is that Marco Pantani was like terrible the entire race, and they're like he considered to have bad the day before, and then the rest is
Yeah.
history, I guess. 7.41 watts per kilogram for I believe like 23 minutes, twenty three
Yeah,
minutes oh
23
five. Yeah.
minutes, yeah.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, then the next one, yeah, is on the same climb also Polish rider Zenon Jaskula did yeah, also a great performance, and Leonardo Piepoli. And the last one from this year was Pantani on Mende. But there were also like multiple guys like Rees and Indurain did the same time, but they didn't. They drafted more, so yeah, their performance wasn't above the pink trend line. Then after this, in 1996, our two performances from Bjarne Riis on Autocam, of course, the famous one, and the second one is in time trial on Val d'Isère.
Yep.
And the time trial, I think it was this the only climb, or there was also a flat part in
I
Val
think there was
d'Isère?
like f there was a few kilometers flat, then the climb, then another few kilometers flat, but it was like
Okay.
90% of it was the climb.
Okay, so it's not that crazy. Yeah. Then there's 1997. There are two performances from Ulrich Pantani on Abdvez. And then there's also Ulrich performance in time trial on Chaboret climb. Peak Ulrich. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, this is peak Ulrich. Yeah, not
Yeah.
that Ulrich against Armstrong, but. Yeah, it was also before 50% rule and before Festina scandal.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the list. Then there's not 1998. Oh my God, this was a mutant year. Damn. Yeah.
Pantani went crazy that year.
On Piancavallo, there are four guys who did the yeah. This in it, who made the top 30 list? Pantani, Tonkov, Zulle, and Garini. Four guys
Yeah,
on the
because
same
it was
climb.
once again it was a Uniperto stage that day, and they went crazy from the bottom because I think Pantani attacked after like 1 kilometer, and they just had to chase him. Zulu was in the leader's jersey, cracked later in the race, so it was perfect conditions, but they went crazy, obviously.
Yeah, like. If you have time, watch this climb on YouTube because it's insane. Like, their bikes are shit, and we take into account also their bike weight. And like, look at the speed what they are going up the fucking climbs. It's not like Jura Ace, which are like this generation Jura Ace, or the fastest Vittoria tires, or the aero suit, like they didn't have anything of that. They had just high hematocrit levels, and that's all.
It was enough. It was enough.
It's insane. Yeah, in the same year in Tour de France, also Jan Ullrich did on Col de la Madeleine Longchamp, a top
Yeah.
30 performance, and this was yeah Festina scandal year. And after that, there are not that many performances. In 1999, there's only Jonathan Waters, the current EF Education Easy Post boss. He did a Monument 2 time trial. How much? He did 6.32 watts per kilo for 56 minutes. Damn, not bad.
Damn, that's pretty crazy.
And he's still a boss in a big team. Okay.
Wasn't there also the Monte Campione that year?
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention. Yeah, Monte Campione was in 1998. Yeah, but by Pantani. And after that, there is no Pantani performances because he tested positive or Mafia tested made his test positive in that Giro.
Yeah, there are a lot of rumors about that.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy theory about that. Yeah,
I think he was also quite close a few times in 1998 to the trend line. I think on Europa, for example, and a few other climbs like Madonna di Campiglia was also pretty good, but wasn't quite enough for the pink trend line.
Yeah, like Pantani had many performances. Then in 2000, there's Roberto Eros on Alto de Angliru, on the full climb.
Yeah, his process just like watching that is just completely insane. That man is flying up that climb.
Didn't he have a lighter bike than 6.8 kilograms on this climb? Or
no, I don't think so. That was not. He wasn't at US Postal at that point. Oh. Like US Postal had a super light track bike, which was like 6.3 kilogram at the start of the 2000s, or 6.4. I don't remember exactly, but that was still when he was with Calme, the Spanish team. That's before they had the super light climbing bikes.
Yeah. And there are like only five performances in the 21st century, because 21st century starts from 2001, actually.
Really?
Yeah, really, really. Like check. I will check in Google because do you know why? Because you start counting with year one. It wasn't year zero. So it's
fair
because
enough,
of that.
Fair enough.
I will check because I know of this because we had we discussed this in school, I remember, and 21st century, it began on 2001, so it means I'm born on 20th century. I was born on 2000, so there are only five performances in 21st century. Then in 2004, it was Iban Mayo, again on Monument 2 time trial, did insane watts, 6.35.
Yeah, he still holds the record, obviously, on the Monument 2.
Under 56 minutes. Yeah, 55 minutes. What the fuck, like, man. 55 minutes on Monument 2. Then there's Santiago Perez. He was on fire on this world. He had, I think, two or at least one performance which was super close to top 30 list. But
Navacerrada performance on stage 20, where he went absolutely crazy. And the most interesting thing about the performance is that if you look at the altitude, like for a 20-minute climb, it has such a high altitude. I think average altitude of 1,700 or something. And if you adjust for altitude, that Navacerrada performance is probably one of the top 10 of all time.
Yeah, I need to create those trend lines. I need to like spend three, 4 hours. And we will also know adjusted altitude performances. But he did on Sierra Nevada on time trial 6.45 watts per kilo.
Sierra Nevada is obviously a higher altitude climb. Oh, yeah. Let's not forget that. I think it has an average altitude of over 1,500, if I remember correctly.
Okay, let's check because I know he tested positive after this.
Yeah, he tested positive for EPO, I believe, or Sarah. No, that was before Sarah.
Yeah, let's check. 2004. Yeah, this was his final race before the positive test, let's say that. Then he returned, but he didn't show anything when he returned.
I don't think he was even that good before that as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this is the only good race in his career. And
He just showed up for one race and absolutely went mad.
like imagine like how much EPO changes the cyclist. Like he wasn't bad. Like, let's say he wasn't at my level, but he was the Tour de France champion. Yeah, level two before this. Like anything close, yeah. He maybe wasn't even like top 100 climber before this world in 2004. And then there are left only three performances. Yeah, then there's Ivan Basso on Monte Bondone. In this Giro, I remember he had so many great performances. Like it's insane.
It was insane actually. I don't know what he did, but then he but then obviously he was disqualified at the start of the Tour de France just a month later due to the what was it called Fuentes scandal, or
Yeah,
is it called?
Fuentes, maybe. Yeah, it was that year, 2006. Yeah,
Yeah,
maybe.
2006, where Basso and Ulrich, who were the favorites before the race, were both disqualified. Then Oscar, Landers won, and then Oscar Pereiro
Yeah.
received the Tour de France after the race, like 3 days after the race, because Landers obviously tested positive for testosterone on his 80, what is 120 kilometers attack. Way
Yeah.
again, like 5 minutes.
Okay, then there's of course Alberto Contador in 2009 on Verbier. Yeah, then there's Jonas Vingegaard 2023
2023, yeah.
after 14 years. Yeah, after
A
Contador.
gap.
Is there anyone who hasn't tested positive on this list except Vingegaard?
Yeah, probably. We get.
Jean-François Bernard did test po po like
I don't think.
okay like of course like Piotr Grumo didn't test positive because he had hematocrit tests above like 60%,
60,
I
yeah.
think, but he didn't test positive because at
Yeah.
that time it was okay. Yeah, it
Yeah,
wasn't yeah banned.
I think a bunch of these guys didn't actually test positive. I'm not sure. I
Yeah,
think Tonkov was,
Bjarne
yeah,
Riis
didn't
also
test
didn't
positive.
test positive. Like, okay, it's stupid to say who didn't test positive because, yeah, Bjarne Riis, I think, also didn't test positive.
Yeah, but he said that he doped like later
Yeah, he
on.
admitted the,
Yeah,
yeah,
he
of course,
admitted it.
later.
While like Tonkov is still like he's clean officially.
Yeah. Okay, like Contador because of clenbuterol, but it was in 2010. But this list is cooked.
Yeah, it is.
Like those names. Okay, yeah, 90s, and like there isn't even Lance Armstrong. And people often ask, where is Lance? Like, yeah, where is Lance? Why he isn't on this list?
He's pretty good, but he's not that good. He's not 90s good.
Yeah, the problem was if he would have did the high hematocrit stuff on 90s, yeah, he also would be here maybe.
But he did, right?
I don't think because he multiple times didn't finish Tour de France even. Like
Yeah, but he
that's the
was good
funny.
in other races. I think, didn't he finish like the Vuelta in the top four or top three?
That was after cancer. That was
Yeah, but
when
Tabadas was still in the 50,
it was
like
after
before the.
Festina. After
Ah,
Festina, yeah.
okay.
There's
Fair
a
enough.
problem. Like Lance was great as one day rider, but he was never like this. Even like above average climber, I don't think. Like he wasn't the top 100 even maybe.
No, it wasn't.
But okay, let's check Jean-François Bernard. Did he test?
I don't think he offers. I
Yeah,
don't
he
think he
didn't because he's from France. Yeah,
does.
they never test positive
And
almost.
because it was before the, it was before the like 90s. There was not really that much doping control,
Yeah.
and not as many, like there was no EPO, so it was also kind of a different playing field.
Yes, like the thing is with the old guys, we have also calculations from 50s, 60s. They also did great WADs,
Crazy.
but the thing is that our theory is that, at least my theory, that they didn't eat just enough carbohydrates because to perform on stage races, you need to eat carbs, a lot of carbs, to retain the same power output like Jonas. But on time trials, these guys did like crazy months.
Yeah,
Like in
like
50s, I remember Charlie Gall did a faster mountain too than Wout van Aert on a like how heavy bike.
I think it was 10.5 or 11 kilogram bike,
It's just
and it was
complete
up.
shit bike.
It was obviously not like as good aerodynamically as well as today, which
Yeah.
also obviously matters. Yeah, I have him calculated here. 1958, Charlie Gall in the ITT on Mont Ventoux, 1 hour 2 minutes and 9 seconds, which is pretty decent. It was faster than Wout van Aert, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5.97 watts per kilogram I have calculated. Obviously, the longer go, the performance is, the yeah, less accurate the calculation can be, because yeah, aerodynamics is, it's a bit more difficult on those very old bikes. We don't know the exact weights in some cases, obviously, of the bikes. So he like maybe he even pushed higher watts,
Yeah, like there's
probably
also
even.
tires, the
Yeah,
surface. Maybe it was
but
the gravel roads, or maybe
yeah,
not.
I think the, I'm not sure. Like, I think at some parts the road wasn't even as good on Mont Ventoux and stuff.
Yeah,
Like,
like that's the thing. Maybe like Fausto Coppi and Gino Bartali, when they were maybe like physically they were as good as Jonas, like.
I think your theory is probably correct, because I do not think that they went as fast on the non ITT climbs, because I have some very old climbs on Alpe d'Huez as well, from stage races, because you have quite a bit of older times on Alpe d'Huez.
Yeah.
We got here, what do we have? 1979, Joaquim Agostinho, 5.85 watts per kilogram. Not bad, but it's not like crazy stuff like Charlie Gall on Mont Ventoux. We have Fausto Coppi, 5.58.
Also, like Bernard Hinault did this crazy time trial, yeah, and
Wasn't was no, what did he? Oh, on Avoriaz?
I think yeah, he had this
Yeah.
good performance.
Avoriaz, let me find it here. Yeah, 33 minutes, 1 second, 6.23 watts per kilogram, not bad.
Yeah, and then they did on the like Alpe d'Huez, like they did 48 minutes or something like that with LeMond.
Yeah, they were super slow, but they attacked before the Alpe d'Huez climb, the final climb on that day, so
Yeah,
it's
but
maybe not.
still, it sucks.
Yeah, it's not good. I think they did below 5 watts per kilogram even. Oh no,
Yeah.
5.24 and
Yeah.
5.20. Okay.
Like a legit, like okay, like I read like doping books, and yeah, they didn't have EPO or something like that, but other drugs which were
Yeah.
like there were like let's say downsides of those drugs, and they not always worked. Like they
What was
not
the thing?
always gave you watts. Let's say that.
Like the before the like the start of the doping was like, what was the shit called that Merckx took?
Fuck's sake, I don't know.
Amphetamines.
Yeah,
Yeah, that was like, that
amphetamines.
was the what was used at the start, alcohol, amphetamines, for a long time, probably like in 50s as well, even before that
No,
maybe.
no. Like drugs in cycling is from like I think 19th century. Like legit,
Yeah,
like
probably like, I
they
think
dope all the
that's the
time,
start.
at least in
Like
history.
what was that in the like the Olympic shit that I used, like Trichnine, or was it called, which like killed them or something nearly? Yeah, it's crazy.
Yes, like they use their everything,
Yeah,
like in all days.
and then from the 80s there were anabolics and blood transfusion, I think, at that point.
Actually, blood
Blood
transfusions
transfusions
were
were a
used also
bit
in
older.
army
Yeah,
already.
but in sports, I think it was like from the 70s and eighties, and especially in
I
the.
read maybe in even like 50s, Finnish runners started that.
Yeah, it probably took a bit longer for cycling, but yeah, eighties were then started anabolics. We saw a bit of a jump in performances, maybe related to that. Luis Lucho Herrera, Colombian climber, had some good performances on Alpe d'Huez, 6.02 watts per kilogram in 1987 there, 1984 even 6.16 watts per kilogram, like he was climbing well. And I think he had also La Rochère time trial that did some good watts. I think it was even generational from Lucho Herrera, 6.96 watts per kilogram for 16 minutes, 16 seconds. So yeah, that was the first jump, then the 90s, and now and regressed slightly, and now we slightly rising again, obviously.
Again, it's like golden age of climbing.
Yeah, one of the golden ages of certainly.
Thanks for listening. Let's see how many top 30 all-time performances you'll see this year.
What's your bet?
Five.
I'm going with three. Remco on the TT and then something else. On Prudhomme, Vingegaard, those three.
And then
Ah, probably with.
like the 30 generational ones.
Hello. Imagine. We'll see. But
It's
yeah,
only
I hope you
off,
guys enjoy.
like it's not even grand tours.
Yeah,
They
yeah.
are still like they can drop kilos, but yeah, thanks for listening.